the survivors that I have worked with and been with, they are so impressive. Mm-hmm. They are so, and they don't even know it. They don't know it. They, to become that survivor, it's something that is truly an amazing progression for an individual to recognize how important they are as an individual themselves and how they can stand on their own 2 feet. Hi, I'm State Representative Cheryl Delosier, and I'm proud to represent the 88th District in Cumberland County. And each and every summer, we're very lucky to have some interns, some high school ones sometimes, some college ones, but always ones with very good questions, and they have a lot of desire to learn about public policy and the legislative process. So this year, we were very lucky to have Sarah Gurdes, and she came into our office, and each year when we talk about different things that come through during the summer, during the budget process, is an issue. And so we ask each of the interns to come up with an issue that's important to them that they've seen work on either by myself or by the legislature to focus on and have a conversation about. So Sarah, what issues did you find interesting this summer?
Yeah, so the issue that I found most interesting this summer was mental health and the services and support that the government provides. I really found that interesting because everyone has a connection to the topic. Whether it's a family member or a friend, it kind of impacts everyone. So I think also it's really important to have proper support to fix the other issues in our society, like homelessness or drug problems or anything else like that.
No, it makes sense. And didn't introduce, tell us what school you're going to.
Yeah, so I'm Sarah Gurdes. I'm going to the Catholic University of America. I will be a sophomore next year, and I'm studying political science.
Great. And when you were talking about mental health as we went through it, I know you came up with a number of questions and some things specifically that interest you. So let's get to it.
Okay. So mental health was one of your legislative priorities for this session. Can you just speak a little bit about why mental health is an important issue for you?
Sure. Mental health is something that, as you mentioned, affects everybody. And I think that even if you don't really know about it, there's someone in your circle that's probably dealing with an issue that is encompassed within mental health. It could be even just a sadness of a form of depression. It could be something all the way to needing medical assistance and being in a hospital. So mental health has very varying degrees, but it also has a lot of stigma that went along with it. So I think it's our job to educate and to make sure that people that need services around mental health get the services that they need. And so I think it's important that the legislature be very cognizant of the fact of not only that stigma that someone might have, but also be able to educate and say, hey, look, these are the services that are available.
So my next question was about the stigma, but you already kind of covered that, about how it's important to just raise awareness about the issue. So.
Well, it's you know, a lot of times when you talk about it, people think of, certainly they've seen the movies of people, you know, even to use a title, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, kind of thing. That stigma of people ranting and raving and running around and, you know, in little white jumpsuits, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And that's not what mental health is about. Mental health is just that, it's health. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, it's our brain. And, you know, many times, and I'm sure you've heard that in having conversations, is that, you know, if somebody says, I have, you know, cancer, you know, then your first instinct is to say, oh, are you getting treatment, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't let cancer go. Right, but if someone says, oh, I'm having difficulty and dealing with something, and I'm having a little bit of a mental health need, people tend to like back away from that like it's contagious, mm-hmm. And it's not. And that's where that education and that training and that awareness comes into play.
Yeah, definitely. Can you speak a little bit about the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency? I know they do some work with mental health and also your time as a previous board member there?
Absolutely. That commission has worked, it works across the board on so many different issues. And PCCD is something that hundreds of millions of dollars flow through PCCD with grants. Mm-hmm. And it goes out to many different areas on all different, from violence to crime, fighting crime and preventing crime, to trying to deal with those that have committed a crime and rehabilitation in that regard. But it also deals heavily with mental health. And in our budget, in the past, we've had $100 million more than $100 million go towards school safety and mental health. And those dollars were used in seven of our school districts within Cumberland County, or my district in the 88th district, received dollars from that. So PCCD, those grants, send out grants. We've done dollars within our budget that go to mental health. But the programs that PCCD has are ones that are direct to possibly our schools, direct to possibly our nonprofits, and direct funds into our community organizations that try to get those services to those that need it most. Mm-hmm. Mainly because the organizations that PCCD has contact with are also the same organizations that are most likely going to come into contact with those that might be needing those mental health services. Mm-hmm. So yeah. They're a great conduit.
More about those resources. What resources are available for people in your district and Cumberland County in general that are struggling with mental health issues?
Well, you know, in mental health, there certainly are statewide hotlines, 988 you can dial. You certainly can go to any hospital and ask for assistance. And there are many of our community groups that are out there that you can also reach out to. Many times when you're having a need within mental health, you know, sometimes just reaching out to a friend. Sometimes reaching out, you know, some may not have that connection with a family member. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm lucky. I have a sister who's, you know, a best friend, a relationship. And if I ever had that need and felt that I needed to reach out to my sister, I could do that. You know, I'm lucky I have, you know, my husband, my children, and my mom, and, you know, those that I feel that I could reach out to. Some may not have that connection with mm-hmm. their family, and so therefore friends, their pastors, their coworkers in some cases, you know, reaching out to someone, that connection sometimes is really what is necessary. Mm-hmm. That personal connection. We certainly have walk-in clinics where people can go. We have a new one that opened in Harrisburg down on Cameron Street. It's open 24 hours. It's a great resource. It was a combination between Cumberland and Dauphin County to work to get that set up. I remember when we went on a tour when it first opened. The thing that's wonderful about it is it not only has adult services separated in the building, they also have youth services. Mm-hmm. So this is not something that just affects someone over 50. You know, this is something that can affect someone all throughout their lives. And in many cases, the ability to get medicine, certainly there's medicine that helps. Many people I know that have had issues, that, you know, have been on long-term medicine to stabilize what it is that they need to do. And again, that stigma comes into play when it comes to insurance or it mm-hmm. comes to, you know, those types of things, your health record, when you need psychological services. I remember back when, you know, you needed to pay with cash because you didn't want that on your insurance. Because then if you ever needed new insurance, that would be a detriment to you getting insurance down, a pre-existing condition type thing. So all of that comes into play when you're looking for resources and, you know, that stigma still plays a part. But I think slowly but surely we're getting to the point where we have clinics that open up and recognize that it's not just, you know, a middle age issue. It's also a youth issue, possibly a teen issue, a young adult issue, as well as all throughout the lives of individuals that might be having an issue.
Yeah, definitely. So House Bill 564 passed the House and is now in committee in the Senate. This bill would create a public education campaign to increase public understanding about the 988 suicide and crisis lifeline that you already mentioned. Mm-hmm. What impact do you think this legislation might have?
Well, I think that, number one, it would be interesting to see what that encompassed in and of itself as to, you know, when the rubber hits the road. Because one of the issues that I do believe we have within state government with a new bill or anything like that is the fact of many times we have dollars possibly through PCCD, getting sent out into the community to do a job, right? And you hear the description as to what those dollars are to be spent on. And it's very admirable as to what they are trying to accomplish. But sometimes just putting more money towards something is not the solution. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it wouldn't, you know, a few more dollars in any particular line item or anything like that would not be beneficial. But I think there's accountability that also needs to happen. And sometimes we overlap. And that's where I think more transparency and more awareness of where these dollars are actually going within our state is important, because we need to take that review and step back and realize how many mental health dollars are out there. And this is not just mental health. This is a lot of different issues do this, where we have that overlapping services. Our veteran services, there's so many veteran services out there, and they overlap a lot. And figuring out exactly how we can get the most for every tax dollar that's spent on mental health, I think, is in our best interest, not only fiscally, and making sure that our dollars are being spent the best way possible, but also in outcomes when it comes to anybody getting those services. So are they getting the best services that they can, the most focused services that they can, and how is it that we can do it in 67 counties equally?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. To make sure that not all the services are focused in one particular or other, you know, type of county.
Now, you already mentioned a little bit about the funding,
mm-hmm.
But as we're still in negotiations for the budget, can you talk a little bit about maybe proposed mental health provisions or what you think would be the best way to go about mental health funding for this budget?
Absolutely. I think that mental health, again, in the recognition of the increased priority that people have put on it, I think the budget dollars have reflected that. And so as we negotiate the budget, I absolutely do believe that the mental health dollars that I mentioned that go to schools, I think that that will be a priority. I think the mental health grants that go through PCCD, just like that, will be a priority. So I do believe that we will see targeted mental health dollar increases. Everything is costing a little bit more to provide those services. Salaries cost that, you know, more and those types of things. And they're trying to possibly reach more people. Mm-hmm. So that's not a bad thing, but it does cost. And so we need to balance that out to make sure. And I think it comes back to, you know, a little bit of what we were just saying, in the sense that making sure that the dollars that are spent in the best way possible, so that we're not wasting any dollars, because they're precious. And the more that we can target those that need it most, the better I think that will be as a whole.
Switching gears here a little bit, over the past few decades, we've seen a significant reduction in public mental health facilities. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, how do you think the closure of those institutions has impacted the landscape of mental health today?
When we closed the state hospitals, it was a decision that was made, and one that, you know, 2020 hindsight is always much easier
yeah.
than actually getting something done at the time. I do believe that, and I believe this with any type of health issue, not only mental health, is many times the focus of having someone be cared for at home as a priority is a good thing. It's a good thing in cost. It's less expensive. And everybody likes to be at home. You know, when mm-hmm. when they're not 100%, whether it be mental health, whether it be physical health, maybe it's just an aging population, you know, mm-hmm. if they are more senior and they need more services, but they can survive at home with assistance, that's less expensive. If they can be, they have mental health needs, but they don't need to be in a facility 24/7, certainly serving them in our community and in their homes is better, I believe, for not only the individual, but the family that that individual has around them, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
To support them. So I think that that premise is a good one. I did see when the closure of the hospitals, certainly many urban areas, in hindsight, we could have done it better. And some individuals were not transitioned out in a way that allowed for them to continue services at the level that they were receiving them. And so you saw many end up being homeless in some of our more urban areas. You'll see it more in the sense that if they shut them all down in the one area, you would saw an increase possibly in the homelessness. And a lot of times, you know, when you talk about addiction and mental health, they go hand in hand. And so if you're having someone with a mental health crisis, it goes hand in hand with the fact that their drug addiction it may increase. Their alcoholism may get even more take over their lives. Not, you know, just the capability of they fall into their vices, you know, and that's something that their addiction, you know, is there and it's real. And fighting that demon is something that's a demon for many. And one that is not easily fought. So if you are not transitioned in a way that you need to be out of the full-time mental health to not being in a state facility, I think we ran into some things that we should have done better in the past. And I think that right now our system is trying to recover from that and will continue to recover from that and trying to serve those that need it most.
Another one of your legislative priorities for this session is bringing awareness to domestic violence issues. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit about how domestic violence and mental health can be connected?
Certainly. Mental health and domestic violence are linked in many ways. You have an individual that is a victim of domestic violence and you are trying to get them out of that situation and bring them to the step of survivor. That's a tough step. Mm-hmm. And it's a very hard step for many, many people. And a lot of that is around mental health. If you've been told for years that you're worthless, you've been told for years you cannot do something, you've been told and isolated that the only person that's important is possibly the abuser, you have no friends, your family doesn't hear from you any longer, which is the typical domestic violence way a perpetrator operates, keeping someone separate. Those steps to do that take a toll. And an individual that breaks free from that and takes those steps back to people and back into the embrace of those that care about that individual, that is a very big mental health step. And it is one that takes sometimes years to get past that hump of being recognizing that every time they do something that they did it wrong, that they spent too much money, that they didn't do, you know, call this person, whatever it may have been, and you know, it is a situation by situation type of issue. A victim of domestic violence, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, any form of that domestic violence, doesn't have to leave bruises necessarily, but that mental impact takes a toll. Mm-hmm. And if you've been suffering from that, whether it's a month, a year, 10 years, whatever it may be, being able to tell yourself you're worth saving and you're worth standing on your own is a big hurdle for many people. And that's a mental health issue where you need to be shown that you have the strength and you have the capability to be that survivor. And they all have it. The survivors that I have worked with and been with, they are so impressive. Mm-hmm. They are so, and they don't even know it. They don't know it. To become that survivor, it's something that is truly an amazing progression for an individual. To recognize how important they are as an individual themselves and how they can stand on their own 2 feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Going along with that, what mental health resources are available for those people who have been affected by domestic violence?
There are hotlines, certainly. Again, if you're wanting to talk to somebody that is not within your circle, which many of those victims of domestic violence don't have that circle anymore. We had talked about that a little bit with other people that may still have that circle. Typically, a domestic violence individual is on their own, and they're terrified. And they're financially connected to this individual, or maybe by children. Maybe they don't work and they have children and they're afraid they cannot survive on their own. There are services out there, absolutely. I mean, I was on the board of PA of domestic violence for Cumberland Perry, and each of the counties have a domestic violence resource center. They have shelters. We have one here in Harrisburg. The Y is a shelter here in Dolphin County. We have, like I said, DVSCP in Cumberland and Perry County. They have shelters in different locations in both counties. And the capability of realizing they're not alone. They can reach out for help. And there are people there that will help them in a heartbeat and be there for them to walk them through the process is something that's very, very important.
Shifting gears again a little bit to veterans and mental health. Veterans are also very much affected by mental health, as you know, with PTSD, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, things like that. Senate Bill 654 is in the Senate committee as of April 2025. It would provide mental health care services to veterans who have exhausted their mental health benefits by requiring the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs to reimburse mental health care providers for up to 5 additional mental health sessions. Mm-hmm. Would you support this legislation or similar legislation if it were to make it to the House?
I believe it sounds like a good idea. I think the real question that we need to ask is why did they run out of mental health service or benefits? Our veterans are special people, and they did what they needed to do for us. By serving, and we should be there for them. Mm-hmm. So on the issue as a whole, I would say absolutely. I would be supportive of getting a veteran any services that they need, especially mental health services. I have many times dealt with our veterans courts in Cumberland County. We have one, and it is amazing to watch because it is somebody very focused on veterans issues solely, and our counties each have our veterans, our VA services, and I know Cumberland is very willing to go above and beyond to try to make sure that a veteran gets the services that they need. You are absolutely correct with PTSD, with depression, with many of those issues that our veterans do face. They turn to other things in many cases. They turn to alcoholism. They turn to drugs. They are homeless. They have they don't know where to turn when they feel that the country they served is letting them down. And I think that it's incumbent on us to make sure they know that we're not and that we are there for them. And I think that that's why it's very important to recognize that, you know, somebody that comes back from war probably saw things that none of us could comprehend. And therefore, they did what they needed to do for us, as I said, and we need to be able to do what we can for them. And that's why I believe our veterans courts, and that's why I believe our veterans services in each of our counties are so important. And the dollars that come, we certainly get a lot of federal dollars when it comes to our veterans, and then the state dollars and the local dollars that go to our veteran services are extraordinarily important and ones that should be focused on a lot of the mental health of our veterans because time and time again, it's proven that those services go and serve the best way that they possibly can with those that may need them the most. They're also the strongest in the ones that most likely say they don't need them, mm-hmm. so they get stubborn. So that does happen too. You know, and when you talk to a number of folks and say, well, you need to go and receive services, sometimes they're like, I don't need those services. You know, mm-hmm. I've had a couple of veterans I've spoken to at my veterans breakfast or something like that. They'll mention some problem that they're having. And I'll be like, well, why don't you go over to the VA? I'm not going over there. I don't need their help. So some of them are pretty stubborn, but a lot of them really are just looking for the services that are available to them that they've earned, and they've earned these services. It's not a gift to them. It's something that they earned. And I was very happy when one of the VAs opened there in Upper Allen, because the Lebanon facility is all encompassing, but the Upper Allen one was closer to our folks here, especially in the 88th. Upper Allen was part of the 88th for many, many years that I served that area, and so our general vicinity is a benefit, benefits from that being there. One of the things that I thought was very important from that one opening up, which was very unusual and was not necessarily focused on in the Lebanon facility, was it has an entire wing for female veterans. Obviously, more and more, we're seeing more women serve, and therefore, OBGYN services are needed in the VA. Decades ago, that may not have been the need. It's needed now. And, you know, look, I'm a proud mom of two Army kids, a boy and a girl, and I feel very, very strongly about our military and the service that they give, and I believe that we need to be there for them when they need it.
Yeah, I think that support's really important, like you said. That's all the questions I have for you, but thank you so much for having me today.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm so glad that you dove into this issue. I think it's a very important issue, especially on the areas that you talk, the different platforms of with domestic violence or veterans, and it's something that the stigma needs to go away. So thank you for diving into it, and good luck at school next fall.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.